Me llamo Juan García Calero.
My name is Juan García Calero. I work at a Spanish sulfuric acid factory. I began work here in 1972. In other words, I've been working here for about 29 years. Many of my co-workers have died of cancer because the work they had to do involved constant touch with phosphoric and phosphoric acid in order to produce sulfuric acid. I still know some co-workers who are suffering from cancer, terminal cancer.
¿Quieres que los fosfoyesos sean retirados de tus entrañas? Si te importa la salud de los tuyos, acude. Justicia para Huelva. Fosfoyesos fuera. Manifestación convocada por la Mesa de la Ría.
Working there was like hell on earth. I mean, it was very dangerous because one was breathing in all those gases there, sulfuric acid, sulfurous acid, etc. The life of a worker was worth nothing, absolutely nothing.
No valía nada, nada absolutamente.
There were people who used to protest against the working conditions, but some others didn't. In my case, for example, when there was too much pollution, I used to call 112, which was in fact the Civil Protection Office. Then they would send an inspector and the production would stop temporarily. But upon his leaving, they would start the work again.
O sea, paraban todo y volvían a empezar otra vez.
We told them to build a hospital in the capital to treat burns, because when someone was injured, they would send him to Seville, and because of the long distance, when the injured person would get there, not much could be done, you know? But we couldn't make it. Years later, several diseases appeared because the raw materials that are used to produce phosphoric and sulfuric acid cause allergies, as well as cancer. All types of cancer, including lung cancer, prostate cancer, liver cancer, and so on and so forth.
Desde pulmón, próstata, hígado, etc.
En la punta del Sebo, a los pies de la confluencia del Tinto y el Odiel, se alza la central térmica Cristóbal Colón. Pertenece a la compañía sevillana de electricidad y suministra corriente a toda Andalucía y parte de Badajoz y Murcia. Después, el Generalísimo inauguró la factoría de ácido sulfúrico de la Compañía Española de Minas de Río Tinto. Sus instalaciones suponen una inversión de 635 millones de pesetas con una producción anual de 230.000 toneladas.
La evolución histórica del polo está enmarcada en la evolución...
The historical evolution of the industrial field is related to the Spanish evolution, right? From the economy as a result of the hard beginning of Francoism, which began to develop by the end of the 60s due to the stabilization plans. In 1964, the chemical plant of Huelva was established, or better said, its creation was regulated. Immediately, many enterprises started to appear, among them Fertiberia, Spanish Phosphoric, Foret, and by the end of the 60s, around 1967, they started their activities and dumped their residual waste into the marshland, which is one of the main reasons behind the current environmental problems. My first impression regarding the problem is represented very well in the picture I took. I had my digital camera, recently acquired, the day I woke up at my hotel. I found myself surrounded by a lot of smoke. It was very threatening. I mean, my first impression was almost the one of a normal citizen who wakes up and sees all that smoke. That's a very disturbing situation, chimneys, smoke, smells, etc. Then when I talked to more people, my impression was confirmed. It was a problem that represented everything going on over here. By the end of the 21st century, there will be environmental demonstrations. Citizens have the capability to decide their future and play the role of a knowledgeable expert who is able to detect what's happening to the city. I was not interested in the matter as a case of study, but as a representation of the world in the city of Huelva.
Antes de llegar a la capital de la provincia, el caudillo se detuvo en tres nuevas industrias que inauguró. La entrada en Huelva revistió caracteres de apoteosis de un pueblo que se ha visto redimido de su pobreza secular, a pesar de disponer de tantos recursos inexplotados. Y Huelva sabe ser agradecida y lo expresa clamorosamente.
El efecto socioeconómico fue que personas que venían de explotaciones rurales, familiares...
The socioeconomic effect was such that people who used to work on rural and family plantations or even in large estates began to swarm to the city to work at the chemical plants. At that time, their salaries were excellent. Just later, people started to realize intuitively that something was wrong. We are talking about a time when factories and industries were not so regulated enough so as to notice the harmful effects on people's health. There are many people who need the job to survive and many people who die because of it. How can you exchange your health if you are the patient, and how can you exchange your job if you are the worker? There are pictures of the demonstrations in the 70s where there were slogans like, "You are stealing our health, our history." It's a very hard situation because they knew on the other side that maybe a cousin, a brother-in-law or a friend needed that job. That's a very hard problem to solve. And it still exists nowadays, even though the jobs at the factory in the chemical section are not comparable with what they used to be. One of my first experiences in the Huelva case was to decode and understand what I was seeing there, because it's hard to believe, and maybe it's one of the most amazing things for those who know the situation. The thing is that everything is almost as big as Huelva, all that part along the Quinto River. All that is due to decades of dumping phosphor gypsum in the marsh. There are tons of it. There are tons of phosphoric rocks that are used in the production of fertilizers. That had to be removed from there. In the beginning, they were dumping it directly into the marshland, but then they decided to stack it somehow. I think it was in 1995 when Fertiberia and Foret received the permission to stack it. So this was a place, it was a virgin land, and now there's nothing left of it. As for this area in the urban center, the interesting thing is that you can see it has limits. It's closed and it's not growing towards the sea. It's not a natural city in an urban point of view. It's closed by the railroad and especially by the historical blockade that the industry and its spoiled area have created. When I saw all of those phosphor gypsum deposits, I thought that it was like another city, but full of residual wastes. You can feel these things. The residents of Huelva, the ones closer to the deposits of phosphor gypsum, like in the neighborhood of Pérez Cubillas, they can feel the threat, the bad smells, because they are there the whole day. It's not like someone who can just go away during the day and forget what's happening.
Desde el año 60 vivo en Pérez Cubillas.
I've been living in Pérez Cubillas since 1960. My children were born here. They don't live here anymore, only me and my wife. It's a nice neighborhood because it's on the suburbs of the city and it's also a humble place. We are all workers, at least the ones who have a job. Here we are trying to survive the best we can.
¿Qué pasa, Pepe? ¿Cómo estás?
Bien, estupendamente. ¿Y tu mujer? Aparte del trabajo, mi mujer trabajando, que
está media jornada. ¿Qué es
lo que hay? A media jornada está.
No hay más, hijo.
Y yo siguiendo con el paro, hijo, ¿qué vamos a hacer? Y cobrando los 426...
I've been unemployed for 5 years and they are paying me 426 until I find a job or I retire. I was in the refinery for 10 years, breathing all those toxic gases, the arsenic gases and the phosphoric gases. They are deadly as well. You can get paralyzed. I'm scared that I might get sick because I was working at the asbestos removal section. Every now and then, I have to have a checkup, a chest x-ray and a lung x-ray, to see if everything is fine with me. For the moment, I'm fine, but you know, the consequences might appear after 20 or 30 years.
Gran manifestación de la Mesa de la Ría contra los fosfoyesos. Jueves 9 de octubre a las 8 de la tarde, salida desde la Plaza de la Merced y finalización en Plaza de las Monjas. Huelva entera comprometida con su futuro, porque la ley está de nuestra parte y otra Huelva es posible y necesaria.
¿Qué pasa, Jesús? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Y el récord? ¿Cómo va, tío?
Fatal. ¿Te está hablando que nos van a pegar un robo?
Madre mía.
Ahí en Sevilla con el Betis.
¿Y el gas? ¿Y el precio? ¿Dónde está?
El precio hay de usarte
para ir a currar.
Para trabajar.
¿Tú te has enterado que hay una manifestación esta noche en contra de los fosfoyesos?
He escuchado algo, pero no tengo ni idea de dónde se sale ni qué es lo que es.
Pues eso es el que lo tiene que saber, el precio. El precio
el
tiene
presidente.
Que
pues a veces pues se pone unos carteles hoy, porque
sí,
no se
porque
sabía.
Está ya en la cuarta manifestación que hay en esto, ¿eh?
Y va, nosotros que tenemos que apoyarlo, que somos los más
la
implicados.
La plataforma de la Ría es la que está
pegando. Es la que apoya, es así.
Poquito a poquito puede
ser. Claro, no, sí, no, aquí las cosas
pero eso vale mucho.
Un día para otro.
El Villarmi, ese no hay quien lo. Ese Villarmi se ha quedado con el Pasné, igual que todo lo que hay en España.
Como tú.
Y se quedan en todo. Y se quedan con toda la pasta y se quedan con todo y no hacen nada. Eso no.
Parece que nosotros, que no somos que no nos va a atorrar, que no nos va a rozar, que no nos va a tocar, pero
y a los que le perjudica somos a nosotros, que estamos aquí en el coño.
Los fosfoyesos no lo comemos todos nosotros aquí.
Todo el lío no lo comemos nosotros.
Claro.
Y las enfermedades no las comemos nosotros.
Estamos en la zona de vertidos de la industria de fosfatos de Huelva. Here we are at the residual waste area of the phosphates industry in Huelva. For over 43 years, mainly the two companies of Fertiberia and Foret have been discharging their residual waste here. Annually, around 3 million tons of residual waste have been discharged here. This entire situation has created a semi-lunar landscape that covers an area of 1,200 hectares of marshland, in which 130 million tons of phosphate gypsum have been discharged. On December 31, 2010, Fertiberia stopped because of the final verdict issued by the Supreme Court. After 7 or 8 years of litigating, the permission to discharge in this area has expired, and they have to stop doing it by December 31, 2010.
Y se paraliza el vertido el 31 de diciembre del año 2010.
Vamos a entrar en una zona donde hay niveles de radioactividad.
We are going to enter an area with radioactivity levels that are seemingly high. That's why we have to protect ourselves. We are wearing special suits to prevent an important part of the radiations, but there's yet another part that is inevitable. We also have gloves to protect our hands because they are going to be very close to the ground. And of course, we cover our shoes to prevent some particles that adhere to the shoes, and we carry them with us to our houses later.
Ninguna de las autoridades, ninguna de las administraciones quieren entrar a solucionar este problema que tenemos aquí en Huelva. Este grave problema que tenemos en Huelva.
Nobody from the administration wants to come here to Huelva to fix this problem we have. This is a big problem we have here in Huelva. The Nuclear Security Council has declared that the levels they found here, the radioactivity levels, are according to the maximum values permitted by the law. But here we're using a Geiger counter, and it says that the results of the Nuclear Security Council are wrong. The counter is measuring the radioactivity level, so there is no trick. It works like a thermometer for measuring temperature. Whoever comes here to check it, this is radioactivity. It's not possible to lie. The only thing you have to do is to interpret the values that are shown here and then multiply them by the hours of the day and the days of the year so that we can have the result for 1 year. Then you can compare it with the values permitted by the Spanish law to see if this is all right or not. In this case, these values we have got are 140 or 150 times higher than the maximum permitted by the Spanish legislation. Obviously, it means that these residual wastes must receive a process and they should be considered as radioactive residual wastes. Another option is that the Nuclear Security Council does not want to recognize that there is a residual waste deposit in the open air. In the Huelva's marshland, with an extension of 1,200 hectares and 130 million tons of residual waste, in which there are around 5,000 tons of uranium oxide. There's an idea that we are in a security deposit, isn't it? As if the deposits were in a safe place. Here you can see perfectly how these residual wastes are constantly coming out of the marshes. Some time ago, it rained, and we can still see how the level of acid waters is increasing, and they end up into the estuaries. Another problem with these residual wastes is the heavy metals, due to the radioactivity they have, the acid, and the huge amount of acidity coming out of the marshes, right? Look at this. This is wood. Look how it is. It's like this is due to the acid, right? It's broken by the acidity levels.
Este es el valor más alto que yo he medido hasta ahora aquí en la balsa de Fosfolloso. Esto es una bestialidad. Esto es increíble.
This is a proof that the acidity level here is very high. It's amazing. This is a radioactive residual that should be removed. It's not possible to keep it here in the marshland. Right now, the level of radioactivity that the equipment is showing is 140 or 150 times higher than the levels permitted by the Spanish and European legislation. From this kind of radiation, that is alpha and beta radiation, we are protected. But there's also a huge amount of gamma radiation here, and we're not protected from it. Right now, we're exposed to high levels of gamma radiation. This kind of radiation is carcinogenic, mutagenic. It's able to cause genetic changes and therefore cause cancers. On December 31, 1998, there was a storm in Huelva with a lot of wind. I arrived home at noon after work. That day I had to go to work. I started hearing noises, noises like that of water. It was as if I had to work close to a water deposit. Then I looked through the window and I saw water coming out of the marshland. A huge amount of water was coming out from the northeast wall. That day I got dressed, I put on my rain boots, and I came here to the phosphogypsum deposits. It was almost impossible to go through because the wall had been broken and a very huge amount of water was coming out and almost the whole marshland was full of water. It was impossible to get through the road because it was a bit dangerous. We think that from the marshes, around 500,000 cubic meters of acid water and heavy metals could have escaped directly to the banks of the Cuento River. That river banks have become contaminated, for Tiberius says that they want to recover the marshland system. Around one-third of the whole marshland has been contaminated since the beginning of the discharge of the residual wastes. We are talking about 700 hectares in the area, and in this area that we are now, the security base. What does Fertiberia want to do with all of it? First, they want to employ a layer of polyethylene plastic on the residual waste, then a clay layer, and finally a layer of vegetal soil in which the marshland could be. That's the recovering plan that Fertiberia is talking about. Obviously, the only thing they want to restore is the landscape, not even the visual restoration. We could call it a cover for the residual wastes, sweep them a bit under the carpet. That's what the company is talking about now. Those deposits contaminate in different ways. One of them is the air pollution. The air pollution, mainly radon gas emissions, comes from here. It's a radioactive gas that is accumulated in the smoke that goes to Huelva and around it, and then it's accumulated in the area. This gas is toxic and carcinogenic. The scientific measuring of the radioactive elements from the deposits have found pollutants inside the city of Huelva.
The air we breathe has part of the emissions from those industries that are located in the industrial site. Since 1999, when our group has started to study the air quality in Huelva, with the support of the Spanish National Research Council, known as the CSIC, we detected the presence of some air pollutants, such as arsenic, selenium, bismuth, copper, zinc, and lead. We have observed that in Huelva, the ultra-fine particle focus was very high, but it was not due to the traffic peak, but to the industries. We saw that the ultra-fine focus was coming also from particles of arsenic, selenium, bismuth, copper, zinc, and others, as I mentioned before. Then, of course, the things here is that if there were coarse particles, okay, it depends on the respiratory system. I'm not an epidemiologist or a doctor, but it's clear that the thinner the particles are, the higher is the toxicity. This is what has happened during all these years since those companies were installed in the industrial site. The industrial emissions were not only gases, they were particles of components that right now are considered as toxic and carcinogenic by the law. Huelva is one of the European cities in which the deposits of phosphogypsum are really close to the urban area. There are even piles of 30 meters high, hills of 30 meters high. So when it rains, the water removes all the metals. It leaches those phosphogypsum deposits of metals. I mean, it's like a chimney. If we go there, we will breathe something that is toxic, of course. From our point of view and according to the data and our experience, We believe that there might be some air pollutants that might increase the mortality rate among the people. When you see the levels of the European laws, the first things to do is to go straight to the problem. You have to go and check the workers that are breathing those pollutants. And then you have to analyze the factories. We have to. The industry has to create that information, that data, and let us, the scientists, to handle the information.
¿Qué pasa? ¡Manoli! No puedo, no puedo. Si tú sales, te graban. Que si tú sales, te doy un beso y te graban. Te lo guapa que eres.
Sí, pues venga, grábame.
Ven para acá.
Venga.
Venga.
Ven para acá,
¿cómo
Pedrito?
¿Está, hijo? ¿Qué pasa?
Aquí.
¿Cómo está hoy?
Hoy está fatal.
Hoy está fatal.
Yo no estoy mala siempre.
¿Sí?
No me cojan fea, ¿no?
¿Y Manuel?
Acostado está por eso.
Bueno.
No quiere ni comer.
Vale. Nos vemos.
Adiós,
tío. Hasta el domingo. Guapa.
Si
adiós.
Dios quiere. Adiós, mi vida. Adiós, hijo.
Adiós. Yo soy...
I have to visit 20 senior citizens, and 14 of them have respiratory problems, bronchitis and cancer. Everything is the result of whatever is in the phosphor gypsum deposits. There is no doubt about it. Here there are many sick people because of this, not only here in the neighborhood, but also in Huelva. It's all due to the factory, to the discharging of the factory vertiberia.
Tini! ¿Qué pasa, tío? ¿Cómo está? ¿Y la salud, cómo va?
Bueno, regular.
¿No ha venido la Carmen de la medicina y demás?
Sí, yo estoy ahora mismo, estoy pendiente en la... de 3-4 meses en revisiones.
Y va mejorcito, ¿no?
Bueno, vamos...
Dentro, tirando.
Dentro de lo que cabe, bien.
Bien. Muy bien.
Hay días hartos y días bajos que...
Que hay que llevarlo. Oye, tú vas a ir a la manifestación de lo de Fosfoyeso.
Claro,
hay que ir,
claro,
¿eh?
Porque esto es un veneno,
hay que ponerla al día, porque si no,
esto es un veneno.
No hay que dejarlo ahí.
A mí me detectaron cáncer de mama.
I was diagnosed with breast cancer around 6 years ago. I have good and bad days, and sometimes I feel terrible and I vent my anger on my children. And it's not their fault, but you don't realize it, do you? I've also been there cleaning acid and cleaning the whole factory. It's disgusting, disgusting. All those gases get there, and especially at night. It comes like a very strong smell. It smells like acid. I don't know. When they take advantage and open the valves and let all that rubbish go out, I wish everything was clean again, the way it used to be.
Antiguamente.
El desarrollismo franquista convirtió a la Ría de Huelva en un basurero de la industria química.
Y eso hay que echarlo en algún sitio. O se cierra la fábrica.
Que han venido desaprensivos a expoliar este patrimonio.
Se ha iniciado una espiral de embustes, una espiral de mentiras.
Las medidas de la administración andaluza para recuperar un área de marismas de gran riqueza ecológica se han empantanado en el secretismo.
Perdón un momento, deja de grabar entonces.
Si tú me dices que hay una ley que va a haber una transparencia total en este asunto, que vamos a ver los sitios, que vamos a ver los sitios, hombre, claro.
Vamos a hablarlo.
Línea 900 desvela alguno de estos secretos.
Ese programa nace a consecuencia de que otras...
This program was created because other people and I decided to make this problem public, and the only way is to do it out of Huelva. The big problem that exists in Huelva is that everything is very institutionalized in the province. We managed to call the attention of the Catalonian program Line 900, which was very popular at that time.
José Manuel Cantó es funcionario, trabajó en la Agencia del Medio Ambiente y preside el Colegio de Geólogos de Andalucía.
Here, many lies and deceptions have been created that every day are harder to solve. In my opinion, the program was a success because it showed the reality of everything. It was also the trigger that made the administration come after me. As the technical director of the environmental agency, I was responsible to correct the dumping plant for chemical wastes in Huelva. I'm talking about the early 90s.
Del polo químico de Huelva, hablo de principios de los años 90. Una de las cuestiones importantes que había que solucionar.
One of the important matters that had to be solved was the generation of very aggressive residues called weak or arsenic acids. Those were produced by different companies such as Wurtemberger, Atlantic Copper and Forred, amongst others. We found a solution for this issue, and someone from a political administrative entity advised that it could be used in the case of Wurtemberger and Forred, but not for Atlantic Copper, the greatest copper company in Europe.
La empresa Rio Tinto pertenece al 100% a Freeport-McMoRan, una multinacional norteamericana gobernada por Henry Kissinger, secretario de Estado en la época del presidente Nixon. Kissinger era muy bien recibido y repartía sonrisas en Andalucía mientras sus camiones Cuba transportaban 40.000 toneladas al año de ácidos débiles hasta la mina y los vertían de una forma que en su país nunca le habrían tolerado.
Yo me sorprendí mucho ante esto y desde luego.
I was very surprised, and of course I demanded that this measure had to be applied to this company as well, and they said no. And when I said that I wanted their negative answer in written form, they refused flatly. In the end, they wanted me to prevaricate. In the wake of this, the first trial took place that spanned from 1994 to 1998, and it resulted in the sentencing of the general manager of the copper foundry. I was suspended without pay for 3 years, and it has been 5 years so far, and I keep fighting over this, which has brought enormous economic and personal strain to my life. I've even received death threats.
Yo he tenido hasta amenazas de muerte.
Los vertidos contaminantes a la ría de Huelva se han triplicado en el último año. En el fondo del estuario se depositan millones de metros cúbicos de lodos muy contaminados.
Esas marismas han quedado cubiertas pues con.
The marshland has been covered by about 50 million tons, along with other residues such as ashes from the pyrites that are used in the production of sulfuric acid.
Lo he dicho y lo repito.
I have said it before and I repeat it now. The Environmental Council has assumed an attitude of active coexistence, allowing those crimes to be committed, crimes that have been condemned by legal authorities in two occasions.
The European Union began to speak out about environmental protection since the late 90s, the year 1999 to be specific. In Spain, there were several industrial parks that didn't have today's regulations. Why? Because those parks were built during the economic times of Franco's dictatorship. There's no doubt that back then the construction and contamination criteria were completely different from the ones that we have nowadays. We could roll back time and make the Council of Andalusia say mea culpa, but indeed all citizens should say mea culpa, because our attitudes and demands as citizens at some point forced the administration to modify the regulations. What was permitted back then is not allowed anymore, and it is impossible to be allowed nowadays. and we continue to rectify attitudes that can arise at a certain time.
I think that your reflection is not completely right, though it is true that an environmental legislation exists. Problem existed from before 1999, 500 meters away from a city like Huelva.
Precisely, those responsible for the contamination, the pouring and the phosphor gypsum deposits are those who should invest in the decontamination and the regeneration of the environment so as to avoid that pollution continuing to affect the residents of the area.
January 2013, the Council granted the integrated environmental authorization to Fertiberia. Why?
It didn't grant the integrated environmental authorization. The Council only modified substantially the authorization that they already had. You need to remember that the first environmental authorization to Fertiberia was granted in 2008. Therefore, a series of substantial and important modifications were done in order to introduce the ruling of the National High Court.
Does Fertiberia receive subventions from the Council of Andalusia?
Not from the Environmental and Regional Order Council.
And from other departments?
I can only speak for the Environmental and Regional Order Council department. I honestly don't know if they receive subventions from other departments. I don't know.
The regeneration plan presented by Fertiberia does not intend to remove the phosphor gypsum deposits. The plan is to cover them with a small ground soil and other products, and then to place a green cover on it. There is no real intention to regenerate the area. What does the Andalusia administration think about it?
Well, we need to evaluate the mentioned plan to see exactly what can and what cannot be done in an area like the one contaminated with the phosphor gypsum deposits. I'm not an expert, but there are excellent professionals in the Council of Andalusia conducting detailed analyses. And as a member of the Andalusia administration, I can assure you that a 30-centimeter cover with three plants on top won't be enough.
Fertiberia intends to regenerate 3,500 hectares. How about the other 500 hectares which have been contaminated, not only with phosphor gypsum, but with other substances such as arsenic acids, heavy metals, radioactive materials coming from the ashes of Acernax? What is going to happen with those 500 hectares that Fertiberia has not included in its plan?
If the administrative concession of the affected areas is granted to Fertiberia, I suppose that the ministry will ask this company to regenerate the soils mentioned on the ruling of the national hearing. We should not forget that the sentence dates from 2013, and it is 2015 now. We believe that it is time for the sentence of the national hearing to be executed.
The company belongs to Mr. Villamer, the allegedly richest man in Spain, a close friend with former King of Spain. Can the Council of Andalusia put pressure on someone like Villamer?
The Council will ask any citizen or company in Andalusia to obey the environmental regulations. No matter who you are friends with, the regulatory compliance is mandatory for everybody. The company must take action. It has a sentence from the national hearing, and there is a state administration that must force them to implement such sentence. There is no doubt about the existence of the dumping and the phosphor gypsum deposits, and of course, the public administration doesn't have a magic wand. But again, there is no doubt that the company bears the responsibility for solving the problem.
Pero que es la empresa la que tiene que solucionar el problema, también por supuesto.
El plan de regeneración de los yesos.
The plan to remove gypsum is going to be very positive, because it will create a space that I'm sure, when we see it in 15 years, we won't be talking about this issue anymore. There is no doubt that we will be talking about a green space almost integrated with the city.
Once the regeneration plan is done, would you go with your family for a walk in that hypothetical park?
Yes, of course I would, for sure, because there is no doubt that the plan will be executed with all possible technical and environmental guarantees. From the very beginning, this has been supervised by the administration in a strict, continuous and scrupulous way. In my opinion, this has been done in a completely legal way. I would like to ask the question about whether the chemical industry has an impact on health in a different way. Does the chemical industry have any negative impact on the health in Tarragona and Algeciras?
But as you know, Huelva is one of the places with the highest incidence of certain types of cancer. Why is this happening?
Well, is this based on comments or real facts?
Here are some examples I have found among headlines. Cancer incidence in Huelva, Cadiz and Seville is higher than anywhere in Spain. Huelva shows a mortality rate 20% higher than the national average. Medical experts warn of an imminent incidence of lung cancer in women in Cadiz and Huelva provinces.
Reports are not necessarily true. We need to consult the experts and see what they say.
My name is Joan Benac. I am the director of Health Inequalities Research Group at Pompeu Fabra University, and I started working on this field in the late 80s. Our job consists of analyzing the most important mortality causes and determining the risks of death in those areas in comparison with other regions in Spain. There is a public health problem in Huelva. A different matter is that we are not able to identify scientifically the causes of this problem. But in Huelva, in the south and southwestern of Spain, exists a greater mortality risk with certain causes, including different types of cancer. And I believe that multiple studies have shown that. Therefore, it cannot be denied. The mortality maps that have been created for many years show in general that there is a higher mortality risk with different causes of death in southern Spain. In the case of Huelva, we can also find this mortality risk and among the most important causes that we have usually found, there is lung, bladder and breast cancer. What are the causes of this overmortality in southern Spain? We have always pointed out three types, or three possible great types of causes, specifically social, occupational and environmental causes. And the reason is, there are certain circumstances that in combination with occupational and environmental problems, as well as socio-economic problems, like poverty, can produce what we understand as a greater mortality risk in the area. However, from my point of view, many times you don't need to know the causes. If you find out that in certain areas there is a socio-economic problem or an excess of a heavy metal which represent a high risk to health, then why should we search for the causes? What I'm talking about here is based on published scientific studies. Therefore, it is not related to the mere opinions of people in the industry, those who logically defend their interests. When the Council of Andalusia denies, hides, or minimizes certain problems and uses particular expressions pretty much alike to the ones used by the industry, at least one could say that they are not doing things sufficiently correct. From the viewpoint of what I believe, it should be a high priority, which is public health. As usually said, you must take the bull by the horns, and the precautionary principle must be applied. in the political sphere, a lot of actions must be undertaken, denying, covering and minimizing the problem, as well as blaming the citizens, should be stopped at once. Denying the problem of Huelva, which exists and is well studied and well documented, is in contradiction to democratic principles. I believe that we must choose more radical solutions. You cannot have a time bomb in a certain place and hope that as time goes by, nothing is going to happen and that everything is going to be just fine, etc., etc. The problem with the phosphogypsum deposits is a very serious case and must be handled radically. Therefore, people have to take appropriate action in order to avoid certain problems in the future.
Para evitar que en el futuro puedan ocurrir determinados problemas.
¿Son peligrosos los residuos que hay?
Mire usted, yo sobre eso llevo aquí 20 años de alcalde y unos dicen que sí, otros dicen que no. Yo no soy experto, no se lo puedo asegurar. Tengo informes en que no son peligrosos.
Nosotros estuvimos ayer o antes de ayer en las masas de fosfoyesos, íbamos con un medidor GEIGE y daban unos valores que superaban en 140 veces lo permitido, lo recomendado por el Consejo de Seguridad Nacional.
El que usted haya medido o no haya medido, usted no es científico, usted no es un experto. A mí me viene cada uno me viene de una manera. Por eso, como yo no soy un experto, como cada uno dice una cosa, lo mismo que usted dice eso, la universidad dice lo contrario. Insisto, este alcalde lo que quiere es que ningún onubense tenga preocupación por si los residuos de fósforo y eso son contaminantes, son radioactivos.
Este plan de regeneración presentado por la empresa, por Fertiberia, incluye solo afecta a 500 hectáreas aproximadamente de las 1.000 o 1.200 hectáreas. ¿Por qué solo afecta a esta...?
Mire, yo, perdóname, que yo no... Es decir, es que no conozco el tema de la empresa.
Bueno, lo presentaron en el plan aquí, en el plan, en la reunión que tuvieron.
No, afecta a 700 hectáreas, no a 500 hectáreas.
¿Y por qué no afecta a
todos? Pues porque una parte que ellos no estuvieron vertiendo, es decir, ellos vertieron nada más que en esa zona. El plan de regeneración afecta a Fertiberia donde Fertiberia. Eso no lo ha vertido Fertiberia, eso lo ha vertido Acerino.
Entonces eso se quedará ahí, de momento.
No se quedará ahí. Habrá que hacer una restauración de toda la zona. Es decir, la idea nuestra es que, además de lo de Fertiberia, se haga una restauración general de todas las hectáreas en las que se han vertido, de alguna manera, residuos, ya sean de fosfolloso o de otro tipo.
Entonces, deduzco por sus palabras que estará el plan de Fertiberia y uno posterior que englobe...
Perdóname que te diga. Es que no puede ser... ¿Tú ves cómo no puede ser, Andrés? Es que perdóname, es que no puede ser. Es que vamos, perdóname, yo he venido a hablar de Huelva, hombre. No de...
Es una parte de Huelva.
Perdona. Es que no me puedes preguntar con esa minuciosidad.
Vale.
Perdona, no. No, y además estamos grabando, que además si quieres ahora esto me lo sacas.
No
puede ser, hombre. Es que no puede ser, no puede ser, perdona. Es que no puede ser. No, tranquilo no, coño. Es que no puede ser, amigo. Es que... amigo Andrés, no vale. Hemos terminado de hablar. Ya está. No más. Perdona, no me engañes, coño. Que no puede ser, hombre. Que sí, poño, porque no, estamos hablando de fosfoyeso nada más, de que me hemos empezado a hablar. No devuelva, coño.
Bueno,
que no, tío, que yo soy periodista, tío, y productor.
Sí,
no me jodas, que no.
Sobre...
Que no puede ser, hijo mío. Claro, hombre, que no puede ser.
La propuesta de la Mesa de la Ría para la regeneración de las balsas de...
The proposal of Ría Forum to regenerate the phosphogypsum deposits in the marshland is the removal of those deposits. There are examples of environmental disasters in Huelva and in Spain, where it was possible to recover the area. The similar example to the case of Huelva is Aznalcola. Nobody said that the area could not be cleaned after all the residues poured in Aznalcola pond, or after the Prestige oil spilled when the Galician coasts were ruined by the tar, Nobody said that the coast could not be cleaned, that it was impossible. Fertiberia has broken the law. It has dumped phosphor gypsum in the marsh, and therefore the company must remove the phosphor gypsum so it can carry out the sentence of the national hearing. Juan Miguel Villamir, the Marquis of Villamir, was a minister in Franco's time. He bought Fertiberia at a bargain price after being rationalized by the state, and he has been protected by administrations practically living on contracts made with the state and different autonomous communities. I mean, he is someone very close to men in power, so close that we have even seen him implicated in cases like the Barcenas corruption scandal, in which he had to testify in court about allegedly donations made to the People's Party. He denied having donated to the party, but admitted that he had made donations to union labors like workers' commissions and General Union of Workers, both curiously related to the chemical industry. Of course, here in Huelva, the chemical industry has used employment to blackmail the citizens, and a lot of people in Huelva are too afraid to take to the streets to protest and complain about the environmental situation that we are experiencing. And it is precisely due to the fear that has been instilled with regard to their jobs, the fear of losing them. But there we have the numbers, right? There are fewer and fewer workers in the chemical industry because this industry is leaving. The current environment minister, Isabel García Tejerina, is a clear example of those revolving doors that exist between the public and private sectors, since now she is the Minister of Environment, but she was a staff member of Fertiberia, the company of Villamir. Therefore, there seems to be a conflict of interest. On the one hand, she must defend Huelva's environment as minister, and on the other hand, there she is, closely related to Villamir and Fertiberia.
No quiere hablar usted sobre las balsas de regeneración de fosfoyeso. ¿Le parece que es una buena idea para Huelva? ¿Qué opina de eso, ministra? ¿Es un plan que es parte de competencia de medio ambiente? ¿Le parece bien el plan? ¿No le parece el bien?
El ministerio hará cumplir todo lo que dicten. Esto está judicializado, ¿no? Entonces hay un proyecto que habrá que cumplir y que nosotros desde luego haremos porque se cumpla.
¿Se puede cumplir siendo usted,
se cumplirá.
Siendo usted asesora de Fertiberia, teniendo un cargo? Es
especialmente, porque yo ahora soy ministra responsable del medio ambiente y mi responsabilidad es que el medio ambiente en España esté perfectamente preservado y eso haré.
Si hay voluntad.
And yes, there is political willingness and funds to do it. The removal of the phosphor gypsum is possible. We believe it is.
Si vemos que continúan las administraciones.
If the administration continues to support Fertiberia's plan to cover the phosphor gypsum, the fight will continue. We will use all the available means to ensure that, from legal and administrative proceedings to street protests and rallies, we don't want them to cover the phosphor gypsum, and we won't allow them to do so. We want them to remove it, and we will keep fighting until it is achieved.
Y así seguiremos luchando hasta que lo consigamos.
We are here to defend the rights of the people in Huelva to breathe fresh air, to enjoy nature and not to suffer from cancer, as it is happening so frequently.
Geographically speaking, Huelva has a privileged location, like a little Mesopotamia between two rivers. We could have another life.
Unfortunately, the citizens of Huelva haven't had another source of income over the past years, and the city was sold in the 60s. And it is still being undersold, so we are able to bring food to our tables.
The high incidence of cancer that we are experiencing now is as a result of the contamination that we have been suffering for more than 50 years.
I'm originally from Seville, but I've been living here for many years and I've seen a lot of people and families suffering from cancer.
mucho.
We want the responsible companies to take care of the residues that have been abandoned for 40 years. We should have started protesting a long time ago, but there's no doubt that we must keep fighting until they remove the residues.
It's easy to intimidate those people who have been begging for their jobs and for their money for years and decades. And they would do whatever you want them to do. That's why it takes the citizens of Huelva a long time to react. But they will do in the end.
Huelva is sick of this situation, and Huelva is looking forward to saying it is enough.